Welcome to the Behaviorist Book Club. My name is Matt Harrington. I am your host, and we are going to be talking all about ABA research. In this podcast, we break down one ABA research article per episode, taking out the key findings for you so that on your morning commute or on your way into work, you can become a better behavior analyst. Now, let's get to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Matt. I am really excited about this article. So without further ado, let's continue our journey on learning about supervision and supervision topics with Carol and Colleagues 2022, training supervisors to provide performance feedback using video modeling with voiceover instructions, a replication. This is also from Journal of Applied Behavior Analysis, a little bit of a theme for the last six episodes or so as we finish supervision. And like I said, I really like this article. Now, throughout this series, you've heard me talk a lot about the importance of scalability in your training systems. I'll never forget the first article I read about pyramidal training where it took BST and it just sprinkled it down the line, right? It was train the trainer that trains the trainer that trains the trainer, with checks and balances in between. Just the other day, I actually trained my supervisee on that very thing because he's a manager. This is no different, right? So what we're talking about here is pyramidal training, but instead of a train the trainer model, it is a train the many model. So one expert trainer is able to get to every single individual person through technology, right? Through the power of a demonstration plus a voiceover modeling. So what does that actually look like? If you've ever gone to a YouTube video and you've said, how do I start my Facebook account? How do I change my location on my Google Business profile? How do I edit my profile picture on TikTok? I looked that up just the other day. If you're watching this on TikTok, I changed the profile successfully, hopefully. Essentially, all those YouTube videos are instructions plus voiceover, right? So somebody is in the corner of the screen right here. They are talking and showing you something. And then while that is happening, they are actually doing it and talking at the same time. Now, when it's applied to clinical work, what we're going to see in this article is a little bit different. So instead of viewing a computer screen, you're actually going to be reviewing somebody's recording of a session. A therapist will be engaging in a set of behaviors, whether that be what they worked on, which was reinforcement contingencies and DRAs and things like that, or whether it be totally different, like a DTT trial or something. So somebody's recorded a successfully done DTT trial with a client, and then while you're watching, instead of hearing the person praising and reinforcing and things like that, you hear a voiceover, like you're listening to me, and you say, and you hear in that while you're watching, and this is when the therapist does this, and they did this because of that, and you'll see they followed through with that because of that, and then that is how you do DTT, right? So video modeling plus voiceover, different than like a presentation or a lecture. The key here is that you're engaging in observational learning because you're watching the thing happen, and then you're getting reinforced, or you're noting and able to noticing and you're able to more easily identify the reinforcement contingencies because somebody's verbally telling you at the same time. So why does this matter? We know that supervision delivered feedback is critical for maintaining treatment integrity. We've learned that this entire series, there's nothing new there. One thing we haven't talked about too much is how errors in staff implementation can really derail the progress for our clients. Now, the next article we're going to be talking about is on procedural fidelity, so we will have a lot to say there, so I won't spoil too much. But the reality is that if I were to bet, if I were a betting man, I would say the average BCBA's intervention is being followed correctly, maybe at the absolute most, on average, 60% of the time. I think our average fidelity is like 60%. 80 CEUs, $10 a month, 3 to 5 new CEUs being added every single month. Straightforward, simple, that's CEU streamline. I created the Netflix of CEUs with all of not only my old content, but 3 to 5 new hours of CEUs being added every single month. Right now we're at 85 videos and climbing more and more, with over 400 behavior analysts getting all the CEUs they could dream about for only $10 a month. So if you're interested, go ahead and go to behavioristbookclub.com and click the link that says Streamline Info, or check the link below this episode. I know that you will love it, and I guarantee you that you will get all the CEUs you need at finally an affordable price. And you'll notice the clients who do really well, who get amazing outcomes, their fidelity is probably much higher. Whether that be because of one or two really good behavior technicians, a great behavior analyst, a very simple intervention, whatever it may be, the folks who have the most amount of progress are likely having extremely high procedural fidelity. And the only way to increase and maintain procedural fidelity, you need two things. You can make the intervention simpler, which we learned from last episode means you need less feedback to reach mastery, or you can monitor and deliver feedback consistently in the form of fidelity checks. That's what this article is talking about. The challenge with delivering feedback at such a large scale is that because the BCBA's role has ballooned, frankly, to many different things, not just client care, but now managing staff, sometimes creating schedules, all of these different things. Because all of those things have been tacked onto the BCBA role, BCBAs don't have the same amount of time as, let's say, a researcher does to spend with a client. It's one of the biggest reasons the research to practice gap is so significant, is because researchers have a lot more time with their clients when they're actually doing these interventions versus a BCBA. I've had upwards of 15 cases at the same time, and you just can't have that same amount of one-on-one. At best, you're getting that 20%, right? And even now, that's pretty rare to get 20%, unfortunately. So we have a situation where supervisors don't have enough time to deliver really good feedback and fidelity checks, but we know that we need really good feedback and fidelity checks. And on top of that, a lot of clinics don't even have a formal system or training or guidance for supervisors to even get this going. So supervisors are left to their own devices trying to figure out what the heck is going on, what they can do to get these fidelity checks in. They end up getting drowned. That leads to burnout. We talked about that in previous episodes over and over again. The solution, this article presents one potential solution as video modeling with voiceover. So the question here is, can video modeling with voiceover prove to be an efficient and effective training tool? Efficiency, meaning that we don't need the expert trainer to come back in and fix everything, give feedback, and really make it so they go from like that 70% to 100% like they did in the podcast a couple ago about the Excel tracker. And effective, meaning did they actually reach mastery? Were they able to actually hit threshold and do the thing without any support? There were two studies here. The first one was just replicate video modeling with voiceovers to teach supervisors an 8-step feedback protocol, more simplistic, straightforward. And then finally, see if those trained supervisors could then improve their therapist performance on a 10-step guided compliance procedure. Once again, using video modeling with voiceover. So training the supervisors. So 5 participants were supervisors or supervisors in training. A 15-minute video with voiceover video showed the full 8-step feedback process across 10 different examples. Now let's pause here for a sec. So we had 15 minutes of video time. We had 10 examples with voiceover the entire time. Now, how long do you think that actually took to film? Now, if you're watching the video version of this, you may realize that I have a bit of experience in voiceovers, videoing, all that stuff. And I can tell you that's probably the equivalent about an hour and 15 minutes if you are an average videographer kind of skill set. If you are new, it's probably about 90 minutes to 120 if you're really new, like you're trying to download the software. But if you're efficient, you could probably knock out essentially a 15-minute video and a 15-minute voiceover in 40 minutes, right? Like you can really get cooking with this stuff once you know how to do it right. And so just remember, this took 40 minutes to film and put together. And let's look at the results in the next section. Baseline performance was low, 21%, pretty average. All 5 reached mastery after 1 to 3 viewings, and the average training time from start to finish, including the voiceover, the practice, the generalization, was only 2.4 hours. So once again, track the time, 40 minutes to create, and then each of your therapists get a skill barely 2 hours of training. They followed up and all the supervisors were still doing it correctly 1 month after, and the supervisors liked it. Social Validity said they liked this better than having in-person feedback, probably because there wasn't that aversive learning history that we talked about in the last episode that sometimes can accompany feedback. Okay, so what happened when we shifted into the therapist? So 3 RBTs were paired with these trainees. We then wanted to see, could the skills that we learned in the video modeling and voiceover transfer to the therapist? And it did. Long story short, there was 88% integrity, 3 to 6 feedback sessions all reached mastery, meaning that the pyramidal sprinkling worked. Video modeling with voiceover was able to teach the supervisor an effective skill that they were then able to push on to their behavior technicians. So what does that mean? It means a couple really important things. One, video modeling with voiceover was an effective and efficient method for training a skill. So let's take a second and realize that this was a pretty controlled study when you consider the grand scheme of things. We taught a group of supervisors through video modeling and voiceover a way to give feedback that they could then use later on with some behavior technicians. Where I want to see this article stretch to, and I'm sure there are other ones that are pushing in that direction now, is can we do video modeling and voiceover for caregiver training? Can we give video modeling and voiceover for behavior technician training or even individual client protocols? I remember the first time I was at BCBA, it was one of my early cases. I had a big stack of programs to get through, and I did videos for 6 of the more complex programs. And it's just a video of myself. And it really helped. As soon as the technicians saw the video, they were like, all right, I know what to do. And they went on their way. And that wasn't even with the voiceover. That was just me rambling as I did something. And so we start to realize that this video technology, the voiceovers, all of these things, when they could be applied at scale consistently in a smooth process, you can really get a lot of good fidelity. Now, the challenge here is not just going to be, can video modeling work? Is it efficient? Yes. Is it effective? Yes. But is it actually practical? And that is where I think we're actually going to see a lot of help come in the form of AI and other really advanced language model tools. Now, I don't want to get derailed here. I'm a big AI lover, but let's just level set here for a second. The steps to creating a video have never been easier. Your iPhone or Android has the best camera you could ever want for something like this. Your headphones have great mics, so you can do voiceovers immediately. And applications like CapCut, you easily join video and audio together like that. Now, that's going to become even easier when the newest AI tool drops, and then it lines up the audio and the video perfectly already and mutes the video, and then we're on our way. That's the type of progression that we're going to get to. I think we're already there. If you look at some of the video tools, for example, I use AI in this podcast to help me out with some of the editing. But the more accessible and custom those tools become, the faster we're going to get to these videos. Also, let's not forget that we can also be using video modeling for our clients. Video modeling with voiceover is essentially just a video task analysis that we're also using for clients. So the skill of creating video with instructions should honestly be something that everyone's taking advantage of right now, because it's going to increase your training. It's going to increase your ability to do video task analysis and video modeling. It is just going to be a good skill long-term for you to have. So video modeling voiceover, efficient, effective. It is practical. If you have a little bit of tech skills, it's only going to get more practical. So don't sleep on this training style. It reduced time spent training without reducing quality, and it proved effective in doing pyramidal trainings. We need to get a little bit more practical with it. We need to get some tougher skills being taught here. But once we do, I think we're going to have a really strong tool. And honestly, I think we have one already. So I would encourage you to continue testing it out. Make your videos, do your edits, do all that wonderful thing. If you ever have questions about that stuff, shoot them over to me. I'm happy to answer them, especially when it comes to video editing. I'm no expert, but I know my way around. Until then, though, I will see you on Friday with one more article for the week. This last article is a good one, so I will see you there. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you learned something, and I hope you continue to learn something as you tune in Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays to the Behaviorist Book Club. If you like this episode, consider leaving us a review, sharing it with a friend, and most importantly, using it in your clinical practice. There's no other reason why I do this than to make you a better behavior analyst and to make myself a better clinician. See you in the next one.